desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And so, as I said, we've been studying this topic. We just began it in our Wednesday evening Bible class. But I want us to look at verse 23 in particular, because there's a principle there in that verse that is absolutely vital for me and you to understand. The principle that underlies verse 23 is this: only Jesus has a right to define our relationship with him. Now, isn't that right? Only Jesus has a right to say what it means to follow him, or what's required for someone who wants to be his disciple. That's why in verse 23 he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must. Jesus is the only one that has the right to do that. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, this is what you must do. And I tell you why I emphasize that this evening. I think there are a lot of people out there who are mixed up about that. There are a lot of folks out there who actually are settling for their own brand, their own version of discipleship, and not authentic discipleship, not the real thing that comes from Jesus. In fact, I have either heard people or I have heard of people who have said things like this: listen, I want to be a Christian, but if that means that I have to give up my weekends on the lake and my Sundays, then I'm not willing to do that, especially Sunday evenings. In fact, I heard of one lady who said when she first became a Christian, one of the elders said something about Sunday night services, like coming back on Sunday night. And she says, I'm not doing that. Other people say, well, you know, I want to be a Christian and I want to serve the Lord. But you know, this stuff about forgiving my enemies, I can't do that. Now listen, I don't want us to focus on the specific objections here, because there's a bigger problem here. Do you see what it is? These people are exercising the right to define what discipleship is. They're creating their own brand of discipleship. In fact, what we're really doing is we are arrogantly coming to Jesus and we're saying, okay, I'll follow you, but listen, it's going to be on my terms. So you see the underlying principle here. We don't ever get to do that. Let me just say that again. We don't ever get to define the terms of authentic discipleship. Anytime someone says, I'll follow you, stop right there. That's where the period goes. At the end of you, I will follow you. End of sentence. I don't get to put any conditions on that. And so that's the underlying principle. So now let's look back at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, because I want to talk about authentic discipleship and what Jesus said that involves. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, those who wish to come after me, he said, must what? Three things: deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. So he talks about three things there. Tonight, we're only going to talk about one. I want to talk about the first one. What does the Lord mean when he says, to follow me, you must deny yourself? You know, that is such an important concept that we absolutely need to understand. And so that's what I want to talk about this evening for just a few minutes. And so in order for us to do that, I want to come at this at the study on this from four different angles, four different directions. And the first direction is from the direction of meaning. Let's first talk about what the Lord means when he says that we must deny ourselves. What does that require of me? You know, I think it's interesting that you'll find that the Lord didn't say, or first of all, it's the same word. I guess I need to tell you this first. It's interesting that you'll find the same language. That's what I meant to say. The same language in Matthew 26:72, as you find here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And so in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 72, this is where Peter denies the Lord. And so Peter says in verse 72, I do not know the man. And so Peter literally disowns Jesus there. And the same language that is used in Matthew 26 is the same that Jesus uses here in Luke chapter 9 when he says, you must deny self. You must disown self, is what he's saying. So what does that require? Listen, I don't think it means that we have to become a monk, right? We don't have to sell everything that we've got and go and live in a cave somewhere and live deprived of any earthly possessions. That's not what he's talking about. And I'm sure you're thinking about, good, I'm glad it's not that, right? I don't even think it means giving up stuff that we want to do. Because saying that doesn't say enough. That doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what we're talking about here, because it's so much more than that. So I like the way that one writer described this business of denying self. He said this, to deny self means in every moment of life to say no to self and yes to God. He goes on to say, to deny oneself means finally, once and for all, to dethrone self and enthrone God. And then he finishes with this. To deny oneself means to obliterate self as the dominant principle of life and to make God the ruling principle of life. You see, it's a lot more than just saying, I'll do without a few of these earthly luxuries, of life's luxuries. To deny self means that I will say no to what I want and I will say yes to what God wants. It means that I will renounce my feelings, my plans, my desires, and my purposes. I take all of that and I cast it aside so that I can take up God's purposes for me. Now here's the deal. This isn't the first time that we see this concept in Scripture. The truth of the matter is, this is found over and over and over again in Scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, or in verse 1, 1 and 2, I believe it is. Anyway, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So think about that. The first thing that Paul says for us to do is we need to take ourselves and present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, totally, completely turned over to his service. Now go over to 1 Corinthians, because we see the same idea there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 18 through 20. He says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So think about that. At the end of verse 19, he says what? You are not your own. In other words, you don't belong to yourself. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And you take on a new purpose now. What is that new purpose? To glorify God in our bodies. Think about that as we head over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What did he say? It is no longer I who live. This isn't my life anymore, he said. It's Christ living in me. I live by faith in him. I walk by faith, and I do his will. Think about that, and let's head over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In verse 21, he says, you want to know what my life's all about? He said one word, Christ. And I'm so committed to him, verse 20, if he needs me to live for him, or if he needs me to die for him, it's his life. Do you see the idea of self-denial is there again and again and again? Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7 of Philippians. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Whatever I have, I cast aside for Christ. That's what I want. And so the point that I'm trying to make to you is this, is that this idea that Jesus introduces in Luke chapter 9, as we continue on, just keeps coming up again and again and again. It is no longer I who live. I am not my own. All belongs to him. I live to do his bidding, his purpose. It is his life. I can divide my life with one word, Christ. Now, just to be clear, this is voluntary. Christ doesn't impose this on me. He doesn't force this on me. If I'm going to be his disciple, I choose to give up my will for his. But let's be crystal clear. It cannot be both ways, folks. It's his way or it's my way. But it's not both ways. But if I'm going to be his disciple, it's got to be his way. If anyone chooses to come after me, they must deny self. And so once again, we begin to get our minds wrapped around that idea, then we begin to see just how big of a challenge this can really be for us. And so that brings us to the second angle that I want to talk to you about tonight. And that is the challenge of doing what Jesus here tells us to do. You know, I think it's interesting, and here's what I wanted to get to before when I thought I was at this point in my notes. You know, Jesus chooses to talk about, when he talks about discipleship, he starts with the idea, the concept of denying self. There could have been some other things on that list, I think, don't you think, about discipleship? He could have talked about the great adversary, right? Listen, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to do battle with the devil. Is that true? Absolutely. Every single day, he's pursuing us, right? Or he could have talked about the enemies of faith. Look, if you want to be my disciple, you better be ready to deal with some difficult people that are going to hate you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to persecute you. Isn't that part of the walk too? It is. Or maybe he could have talked all about all the temptations that we're going to face. Listen, if you're going to follow me, You need to understand that there's going to be all kinds of temptations out there, and they're going to try to pull you down the wrong direction. And if you're going to be my disciple, you better be ready for that. He could have talked about any number of things. But that's not where Jesus chooses to begin, is it? He says, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to come after me, and you must deny yourself. You see, it doesn't begin with the external. It begins with the battle that we wage within. The battle within. I believe that he begins there because it is the greatest struggle that we face. It's not with temptation. It's not with people who oppose us. And it's not with our greatest adversary. The greatest struggle that you and I wage is with ourselves. It's not hard to obey God, is it? When he asks us to do the things that we want to do, right? God says, don't murder. And you know, I think you'll be glad to know that I don't struggle with that sin. You know, that's a commandment that it's pretty easy for me. Maybe with the exception of sometimes in traffic. But you know, that's not hard for me. And there are other commandments that I don't have a hard time following because they're things that I want to do. When God says, love my wife, you know, my wife she's a lovable person. It's easy to love her. That's not a struggle for me. But that's not where the problem is either, is it? It's not when God tells me to do something I want to do. Or it's not when he tells me to do something I don't want to do. It's when my will is in conflict with his will. That's when it becomes a problem for us. You know, culture plays a part in that as well, I think. Because of our self-indulgent culture that is telling us all the time with all these popular slogans and signs that, you know, you can do just whatever you want to do. Don't you worry about anybody else. Be your own man. I think Burger King started that a long time ago, didn't they? Remember their slogan? What was it? Have it your way. Right, Kent. Have it your way. Culture tells us you deserve this. You've earned this. You shouldn't deprive yourself of this. And you see, the problem is when what I think I deserve and what I think I have a right to and what I want to do, it runs in conflict with what Jesus demands. That's where the problem lies, isn't it? And I will tell you that all of a sudden this business of self-denial gets really, really hard, doesn't it? It's not when the Lord tells me what I want to hear. That's when he tells me what I don't want to hear. What do I do when Jesus says, let go of that bitter grudge? I don't want you to harbor that in your heart any longer. In fact, I want you to love your enemies. What then? What happens when I know that Jesus doesn't want me to leave my spouse? We've got Matthew 19:9 memorized, right? But I'm miserable. And I have a right to be happy. And after all, doesn't God want me to be happy? What about when I know that Jesus wants me to gather with his people and worship and study, but I got tickets to the big game? Or my son is pitching in the All-Star game this afternoon. What then? I'm just not ready to give that up, I guess. And I know that Jesus wants me to share the gospel with other people. And that might be good for other people, but listen, I hang around with some uppity people. I hang around with some pretty intelligent people. And if I go all religious on them and start talking about God and the Bible, they'll think I'm weird. And I'm just not ready to look like a fool in front of my friends. You see, what happens sometimes is when our will conflicts with God's will, then we begin to protest. Then we begin to demand our rights. And we forget what we said we will do. When I signed up to be a disciple, I said I would deny self and take up a new objective. Paul said it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. He said that it is our goal or our job is to please God in all respects. We looked at this verse this morning. What does that not touch, folks? What part of life does that not cover? It isn't about what I want. You see, that's irrelevant now. It's about what will please the Lord. That's what matters. I don't have any rights. Quit demanding them. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we are slaves to what? We are slaves to righteousness, right? He said, beginning in verse 16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart and that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm enslaved to doing what's right. I don't get to demand my rights. Only God tells me what to do. So listen, here it is. I don't have a right to hold a grudge. Don't talk about what that person did to you and how awful it was and how much it hurt you. I don't have a right to that grudge. God said, forgive my enemies. And I don't have a right to walk out on my spouse. Because when I signed on to be a disciple, I said that I would be enslaved to the laws of God that govern my marriage. If I'm a disciple, I do what he wants. And frankly, I don't have a right to skip out on worship service either, just because I have something else to do. I have to say no to self and say yes to what God wants. Folks, that's what Jesus had in mind when he calls us to deny self. We can't let Satan sell us on a discounted version of discipleship that says, hey, just go to church on Sundays enough to keep them off your back. That's good enough. That's not good enough. I'll tell you something. You don't read about that in Scripture. But the devil sure would like for you to believe that. Some discount version that isn't authentic. It's not the real thing. The real thing is self-denial. To disown self. Now, maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking, wow, I'm not sure I'm cut out for this. I'm not sure that I like that. Well, I have a third angle for you. You might like this. And I want you to look at this. We talked about what it means. We talked about how challenging it is. Now let's add a third piece. Let's talk about the benefit. Because there is a benefit, folks. Because there's something good that comes from the decision to be an authentic Christian, an authentic disciple. This decision is going to help us in at least a couple different areas. First of all, let's remember that when I say I deny self, that I turn myself over to the will of God. Think about who it is that you're turning your life over to. We're turning it over to our Creator, right? The one who knows us better than anyone else. Think about those. Oh, and this one. And we're turning it back over to the one who loves us. So we're turning it over to God, the one that knows us better than anyone else, and he loves us. So those two things together. And so we serve a knowing, loving Creator who's only going to do what's good for us, right? And so we're turning our lives over to him, and that's only going to take us to good places. Isn't that right? And so my question to you is this. Are there some things here, are there some here that are struggling with this concept of authentic discipleship? You know, life doesn't get better without the Lord, does it? And so we're turning our life over to the one who knows better than anyone how we ought to live. So, the other thing that I think this will do for us is it will uncomplicate our life. I think that makes life difficult and unpleasant. Number one, when we have an unwillingness to deny self. And what follows is the consequences of that behavior. And that's not a good way to live. One of the great things about finally deciding that this is not about me, that it's about him, is it makes us our life a lot easier. And the way that it makes our life easier is now I know in every situation what I'm going to do. There's nothing to decide here. It's already been decided. I'm not going to struggle with the temptation, for instance, to lie on my taxes, about my taxes, or to lie on an insurance claim just so I can make out a little bit better. Why? Because in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, disciples don't lie, right? That's not an option for me now. And when there's a problem in my marriage, I'm not going to wrestle with the decision of possibly walking away. That doesn't even come up. Why? Because walking away isn't an option now, is it? That's against the laws of God that govern that relationship. And those choices about going out and drinking with the buddies or cheating on a geometry test or whatever it is that we're talking about, I'm not going to have to wrestle with that stuff anymore. I've committed my life to sobriety. And disciples don't lie and cheat. That's not who we are. Now, I'm not implying that we'll never have struggles again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it doesn't complicate the struggle when we're really all in. Because now we know in every situation what we're going to do. It's already been decided for us, folks. So if it really does make life better, let me just add one more angle. And that is, how do we do it? How do we really deny self? What is the process of implementation? Well, I want to make a suggestion about that before we wrap things up. If we're going to do this, then we've got to, number one, make a decision. We've got to decide. There's a decision that has to be made. Either it's my will or it's God's will. And let's quit playing in the middle. You know, I think sometimes we try to waffle in the middle, don't we? A little bit of me, a little bit of God, and that doesn't work. That is not acceptable for authentic discipleship. I've got to decide once and for all that it's not me, because I was purchased. I belong to him. It's his will. And then once I've made that decision, the second thing I need to do is I need to learn. There's a learning step here. There's a decision step, and then there's a learning step. And I've got to know what he wants. You know, there's a lot of people walking around out there thinking that they're pleasing Jesus. And the reason they believe that is because they never looked at the book, right? And so I can't do what I think the Lord wants me to do. I have to do what I know what the Lord wants me to do. I mean, that's just an unavoidable reality, isn't it? I've got to open the book. I've got to read it. I've got to know the will of Jesus. Why? So I can do it. So there's a decision step, a learning step, and then the third one, and this is big, I think. This is where we fall down. A trusting step. Because once I know what Jesus wants, in order to do it in every situation, I've got to trust him, don't I? I've got to believe that what he wants really is the right thing for me, no matter how I feel about it. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Man, we've got to trust that what the Lord says is really the best thing for me. We have to believe that passage. And don't lean on our own understanding. Don't think we know better than God knows, right? So there's the deciding step, the learning, the trusting, and then there's the practicing. I got to work on it. It takes work. You ever heard it works if you work it? That's true here too, folks. Because it's hard to say no to self. And we need practice doing that. So I want to give you a suggestion. I heard this. Someone recommended this. And I just want to see if anybody's... Well, I just want to know if someone will try this and then report back to me. I might even try it. I'm not sure. Someone said, I get up every morning and I make myself do one thing that I don't want to do. And my first thought is, I do too. I get up in the morning. I don't want to get up. So that's it. But is there anybody here that thinks they can maybe try that? He said sometimes it's getting up 30 minutes early to do a little Bible reading or something like that. Sometimes he makes himself exercise. Well, that'd be easy for me. Sometimes it's saying no cake. Cheesecake, maybe. But he said, I make myself either say no or I make myself do something that I don't want to do. Do you see what he's doing here? He's getting in the practice of overruling his feelings and his emotions and his wants. And he's forcing himself to do what is right. Think about doing that every day and how disciplined we become in reining in our passions and our desires and our will and submitting it to God's will. I hope somebody tries it. Get up in the morning and make yourself do something you don't want to do. Let me know if you try that. I'm interested in hearing about that. Because, folks, what we're talking about this evening, these are not suggestions. Well, maybe doing that little exercise is, but what we studied here from God's Word, this is not a suggestion to deny self. This is not an opinion. We're talking about what it means to walk with Jesus, to be his disciple as he defined it. We're talking about authentic discipleship, where I've decided that he is the master, he is the teacher, and I am walking with him as he has defined the walk. Anything less is counterfeit spirituality. So I just want to ask you this evening, is that pretty much the way that how your life looks right now? I wonder if maybe there's someone in the audience tonight that might be saying, no. No, I've been showing up for church just to keep people off my back. But what I really need to do is I need to walk with Jesus. Well, the family here wants you to do that. And we want to walk with you. And we want to support you and encourage you while we walk this walk together. Or maybe you've never decided to become a Christian. Maybe you've not decided to be his disciple. Jesus said that you need to count the cost before you do that. But we want you to follow him, and he wants you to serve him as well. If we can help you do that this evening, come on up to the front while we stand and sing the invitation song.